But first, I need to tell you about Christmas. Not the what, not the presents, not the chaos, not the merchandise, but the who. I want to tell you about the who of Christmas, because Christmas literally changed everything. And one of my favorite titles of God, one of my favorite names of God or descriptions of God is found in Matthew. Of course, the name, the title, the description, it's there all year long in Scripture, but it seems to find its way to the forefront during this season because we hear it connected to the birth of Jesus story. Reality is this name is even older than Jesus' birth. We first hear this name in Isaiah's prophecy of a coming Savior. I want to read it for you in Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to back up just a few verses so you get the full context of what is happening. But Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Would anybody else beside me just need just a little further explanation? You talk about scandalous. Verse 21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Notice verse 22, all of this took place. All of this crazy talk of Mary, your espoused, your betrothed, your fiancé, the modern term that we would use. She has come up with child. But don't worry, Joseph, it's not another man. She was made expecting by the Holy Spirit. All of this took place. Why? To fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I want to talk to you today about Emmanuel. It's of note, if you've read the text, you see it spelled two different ways. Emmanuel with an I, Emmanuel also with an E. You and I have the common spelling and understanding of Emmanuel spelled with an E. Both spellings mean exactly the same thing. Of course, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and then translated. In Hebrew, Emmanuel is spelled with an I. The New Testament was written in Greek, and there it is translated with an E. But whether it's I or E, and phonetics aside, Emmanuel means God with us. That is a Christmas message all by itself. God is with us. God is with us. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to know that. But guess what? There is more. There is even better than God being with us. You're saying, Pastor Darrell, don't get into heresy all the way at the end of 2025. What could be better than God being with us? You see, what I've learned is that many believe in a God who is aware of their situation, but not everyone believes in a God who can alter their situation. Many believe he's here. Oh, I know, I feel him. I've felt him in this service. And I've heard that man up there in red saying that God can do anything. And I feel him here, but I'm just not sure he can do anything. You see, we take comfort in that phrase, God is with you. But deep in our hearts, we are really asking, can he change this? I know he's with us, but can he fix this? I know he's here, but can he turn this around? You see, the name Emmanuel answers both questions. Emmanuel is not only present, but he is also powerful. Lord, I feel like preaching on Christmas Sunday. Not only is he with us, but he is ready to work for us. Not only is he here, but he has power in his hand to change whatever situation we find ourselves in. Is anybody thankful? He's not just here, but he's also ready to move on our behalf. Because Emmanuel knows how to transform trouble into testimony. It's not just with us, but he's working for us. I just have a few points that I want to share with you today. And the first one is this. Emmanuel means God entered our reality. God entered our reality. Isaiah 7:14, that's the first time we see Emmanuel. Let me read that. Therefore, the Lord himself would give you a sign. Here's that sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel. And then 700 years later, actually more than 700 years, about 730 years later in Matthew 1:23, we read it a moment ago, but again, in your hearing, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, God did not shout salvation from heaven. God did not step to that great balcony in the sky and say, hey, y'all good? You gonna be all right? I see you. Take care. Love you. For you. No. He didn't shout salvation from heaven. He stepped into our humanity. He didn't just stay a billion miles away, just looking over it all, saying, y'all do the best you can. Work it out amongst yourselves. Let me know how that pain and that sorrow and that grief and that let me know how that works out for you. No, he stepped into our humanity. He entered our pain. He entered our brokenness. He entered our limitation. He entered our story. He came to us. John said it best in chapter 1:14, and the Word became flesh. That God who was so far away in glory, he became flesh and dwelt among us. And guess what? We beheld his glory. The one writing John was an eyewitness. He walked with him. He talked with him. He touched him. He said, hey, we handled him. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Because he came to us and lived among us, because Jesus came to live as one of us, fully God and fully man, and yet tempted in all points like you and I are tempted. The difference is we succumbed to the temptation and he overcame the temptation. He came and dwelt among us, and because he lived among us, Jesus understands betrayal. Jesus understands loss. Jesus understands poverty. Jesus understands suffering. Jesus understands temptation. There is evidence for each of these in Scripture that Jesus felt them and lived them and walked through them and ultimately overcame them so that he could be our sacrifice. His blood remained pure when ours failed. His name and his reputation was never without soil or mud or scandal, even though ours was ruined by our choices. That's why on a Sunday morning in December, we can throw our hands up and say, Lord, Lord, see me over here. I need you in my life. I want you in my life. I repent of my sin. I say yes to you and give my heart to you. And Jesus says, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take that pain and I'll trade you the promise of salvation. Emmanuel is God with us. And I'm so glad, because Emmanuel means you are never facing your situation alone. Whatever it is, it may still be a secret to you. There may just be one or two people that even know what you're going through, but God knows. God knows you're never facing your situation or your crisis alone. But the story does not end there, because you need to know this: Emmanuel is not just with us, he is for us. He's not just with us, but he is for us. Matthew 1:21, he will save his people from their sins. I'd like to say it this way: he will save his people from themselves. He will save his people from their errant ways and their foolish choices and their slips and dips and trips. He will save his people from their sins. And guess what? Saving us means he's not just patting us on the head to say, all right, now run along, do a little better this week, okay, than you did last week. No, because he came to us, and because he is here among us, he has the power to change our situation. That means he has the power to break addiction. He has the power to quiet the rage inside of us. He's not just with us, but he is for us. His presence alone is comforting. His presence alone, we felt it in this service today. His presence, it's comforting, but his power changes the outcome in our lives. I don't mean to be flippant about this, because I know there's a lot of people that come to church and they feel God and they go home and their situation has not changed. Some people get discouraged. I came to church twice and nothing happened, and so I give up. No. That's right what the enemy wants you to do. Roses don't unfold overnight. Situations don't change overnight. And let me just say it this way: you spent 25 years making the mess. At least give God more than 25 minutes to unravel the mess in your life. Is that too much for Christmas Sunday? Sometimes you've got to give God time to work, and you've got to give situation time to turn and to change and to evolve. What you've got to know, what you've got to trust is that he's not just with us, but he is for us. And while I'm comforted by his presence, I know his power is at work in my life. Even when I can't see him, even when I don't realize he's working, he is working to change my situation, because he never shows up in our lives just to leave us the way he found us. No, he's saving us. He's working for our good. Romans 8 and 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? You say, Pastor Dale, I got a list of people that are against me. They don't matter. Oh, I know powerful people that don't like me. People with a lot of money that have it out. It doesn't matter if God is for us. Who can be against us? Hear me, Jesus didn't come just to observe our condition. He came to intervene in our condition. The Bible is full of examples. He touched lepers and disease left. He spoke to storms and nature obeyed. He forgave sinners and lives were restored. He confronted demons and chains broke. You know why? Because Emmanuel is not passive. He is active. He is authoritative. And he is able. He comes to change our situation at its root. Doesn't come to deal just with the symptoms. He comes to solve and to settle the issue at its root. Because hear me. Our biggest problem is not external. Our biggest challenge is internal. What are you talking about? We don't have a poverty problem. We have a trust problem. One is external. One is internal. We don't have a sickness problem. We have a fall problem. Meaning sickness entered into humanity at the fall, at the choice that Adam and Eve made, the result, the subsequent choices that generations and generations made. So I may be sick in my body, but it's not about these symptoms. It's not about this low-grade fever. It's not about this rash. Lord, let me get at the root of this thing. Restore, Lord, my health. Prosper me. Heal me. We're going to be talking about some of that in January. You better get ready. It's going to be great. Our external problem is broken relationships, but our internal challenge is broken hearts. Heart was broken before we ever got in the relationship, so the relationship couldn't do anything but break. Y'all don't have time for me to teach today. Jesus did not come to manage symptoms. He came to heal the source. That's why education can inform you. Money can assist you. Need more assistance, Lord, please. Therapy can help you. Politics can influence you. Lord, shut some of that down. But only Emmanuel can transform you. We got our hope in the wrong thing. We've got our trust in the wrong thing. We're putting our worship on the wrong things. What we need to do is set our affections on the Lord, on things above, things higher than the best that man can offer and the best that man can do. Lord, I'm setting my gaze on you at the end of 2025. As I enter into 2026, Lord, I'm about to be about you and you only, because everybody else has failed. Everyone else has let me down. Everyone else has disappointed me. But Lord, when I look back over my shoulder, I can't see a time that you ever failed me. I can't see a time that you ever disappointed me. I can't see a time that you ever let me down. So Lord, I am putting my faith and my trust in you. Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us. What he did then, he still does now. He still opens blinded eyes. He still raises dead dreams. He still restores broken people. He still delivers those in bondage. It's not just the stories of old. It's the stories that are on these pages coming to life, coming to reality in your life. He's not a God of then. He is a God of now also. You need to know that situations change when Emmanuel steps in. The same Jesus you met in a manger, the same Jesus you saw on the cross, the same Jesus you couldn't find in the grave, the same Jesus that you believe is at the right hand of the Father, he is with you right now. That's Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. That is the miracle of Christmas. That is the miracle of his birth. He is with us right now. And let me close with this today. You need this, I promise you. Emmanuel changes us even when our situation looks the same. Breathe that in for just a moment. Emmanuel changes us even when our situation looks the same. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hear me. Sometimes God changes the situation. Sometimes God changes us in the situation. Joseph still went to prison, but God ultimately promoted him. Paul still had a thorn, but God ultimately sustained him. Jesus still went to the cross, but there was a resurrection that followed. Because sometimes God changes the situation, and sometimes God changes us in the situation. Where are you? Where are you today? Are you in the situation, screaming at the situation, change, turn, I rebuke you. I said that the other day to someone. They said something to me, you know, just like, well, it'll probably be like this. And I said, I rebuke that. They were not a church person. And so they said, what? Huh? Oh, it's all right. I'm just having a Holy Ghost moment. I don't accept that situation will always be. I reject that. But here's what Emmanuel guarantees us, that even when the situation doesn't move, God is moving in you. Did you hear me? Even when the situation doesn't move, God is moving in you. I talked with someone today. They said to me, after recounting just events of the last few weeks that were too much for anyone, too much, too heavy, too emotional, too painful. They said, I'm just praying that I learn the lesson. And I said, oh, okay, I know that's a great perspective, and I appreciate that, and I pray that for you as well. But sometimes it's not something you can change. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's the choices other people are making that affect us. I've got to trust that when the situation doesn't move, that God is still moving in me. Emmanuel never leaves. He's with us. Emmanuel never fails. He's with us. Emmanuel never arrives too late because he's with us. If God is with you, then your story isn't over. As bad as it may be, if you can inhale and exhale, then your story isn't over. Several of the men, they love to greet me on Sunday. It's good to see you, Pastor. Yep. I'd rather be seen than viewed. Because as long as I'm not in a box, center stage on this floor, then God is still working and God is still moving. Why would you give up if you can still get up? Why would you give up if you can still put one foot in front of the other? Why would you throw in the towel? Pick your towel up and say, no, devil, you almost got me, but I rebuke you. I'm running into this new year full of Jesus in my life. He is Emmanuel, and he's with me. The manger tells us God came near. The cross tells us God paid the price. The empty tomb tells us God has the final say. Emmanuel is here. And when Emmanuel is present, change is possible. Lord, I feel like I'm preaching with a master's degree today. Y'all better not mess with me in 2026. I done learned something. If you need hope, Emmanuel is here. If you need healing, Emmanuel is here. If you need a change in your life, Emmanuel is here. It's not just God with us. He is the God who changes everything. Imagine this with me. Maybe you need to close your eyes so that you can see this happening in your life. Imagine you're sitting in a hospital waiting room. The diagnosis is serious. The situation is beyond your control. No amount of wishing, crying, or hoping can change the chart in front of you. Now imagine while you're sitting there, a man walks in and sits down next to you. He doesn't rush. He doesn't offer cliches and platitudes. He says, I know this is hard, but I am here with you. That alone brings comfort. But then a nurse walks in and says, Doctor, they're ready for you. And suddenly you realize the man sitting with you isn't just a visitor. He's the chief surgeon. He didn't come just to sit with you in the waiting room. He came because he can do the operation. Hear me today. Jesus did not come just to sit with you. Although his presence is a reassuring comfort, he came to change you. He came to do the operation because he's the chief surgeon. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, candles are coming in just a moment, but I wonder if there's someone sitting in the waiting room this Sunday morning. This year is not ending like you expected it would. Challenges have found you, difficulties have shown up. You're stressed, you're overwhelmed, you're discouraged. Some might define this as depression. I just know I don't like it. But in walks a man. His hair is white like wool. There's fire in his eyes. And he says, I'm happy to sit here with you and comfort you, but what I would really like to do is come into your heart and change everything in your life.